Islamic State, or ISIS as they're often referred to. This is how ABC were reporting it as the story broke.
Breaking news. Late today, a brutal video surfaced, apparently showing an American journalist, a young man from New Hampshire, executed, beheaded by members of the violent Islamic group ISIS. The images are too graphic to show. The details are still coming in, and ABC's chief investigative correspondent Brian Ross has the latest. He has seen the video. Tell us what you've learned, Brian.
Well, Diane, it's a very chilling video. It's something no one will want to see. The video appears to show the 40-year-old James Foley on his knees in an orange prison jumpsuit with his executioner next to him, holding a knife in his left hand. Foley disappeared in northern Syria about 21 months ago, around Thanksgiving of 2012, while he was on assignment for Global Post. He was a brave and daring reporter who had earlier been held captive in Libya before heading to Syria to report, ironically, on the brutality of the Syrian government against the rebels. In the chilling video posted today, Foley is forced first to make a statement on the American bombing of Iraq. Then his hooded executioner, speaking in English with what seems to be a British accent, addresses President Obama, saying the attacks by the U.S. Air Force had resulted, quote, in the bloodshed of your people. The video then shows the purported beheading of Foley, a disturbing scene, Diane.
A disturbing scene indeed. It's up on the web, it's accessible, and of course there are significant numbers of still pictures available, and they put all the stills together. That's seen as acceptable in broadcasting circles. I want to speak to Malachy O'Doherty, the author and journalist. Malachy, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
Malachy, I haven't watched the video. I don't want to see it start to finish. I don't want to see the execution of anyone. But we do tend to find that it's now more accessible, an execution, whether it be via television or the internet. A documentary recently on either BBC Two or Channel 4, I can't remember which station, did show a guy who was about to be executed, and as the sabre was lifted, the camera then stopped. But we saw the trauma that he was going through. And of course, if you watch this video, you will not only see the trauma, but you'll see the actual death of James Foley. Even looking at the stills where he's kneeling in the desert, it's harrowing, absolutely harrowing. But the bottom line is, it's reality. Should we be watching it?
Well, it's reality, and it's reality that we will not be able to hold at bay. I do remember 10 years ago when Ken Bigley was killed in Iraq, that it was actually quite difficult to access the video of that. And you had to go through the file sharing protocols that a lot of people were using for illegal downloads and so on. Now we're not going to be able to avoid this material. And it's not just the execution of James Foley. A lot of the images that have been coming out of Gaza and also from Iraq, but very largely from Gaza, have shown, for instance, the broken bodies of children, beheaded children, and these are really, really quite sickening to see. And there's been quite a kerfuffle on Facebook, certainly among people that I'm looking into, who some of whom say, this is what war is, face up to it, look at it directly, take it in and understand. Whereas others are saying, no, back off. I don't want this stuff on my Facebook page. I don't want it where my children can see it. And I'm extremely annoyed about it. I mean, it's being discussed in terms of a kind of pornography. And, I understand. I am squeamish as much as anyone. I do not want to see this. But I have difficulty with the idea of saying that we shouldn't see it or that we should be entirely protected from it, because it is the reality of war. At the same time, I wouldn't want, I don't want it on my, I don't want to see it on TV when I'm eating my dinner.
The rules are very clear with regards to TV. And
well, the rules are clear. I mean, with the BBC guidelines and with various other things. Sorry, Frank, there's a phone ringing.
You're all right. You're a busy man, no doubt.
But there are two things going on here. There's several things going on. Certainly one thing is the propaganda strategy of ISIS, and one has to acknowledge that it's a sophisticated propaganda strategy. Propaganda is an instrument of war. It is for the perpetuation not just of the message, but of the military advantage of ISIS. ISIS wants to be seen as an extremely scary organization, and that is how it is presenting itself. And it will continue to do so with videos like this. It also seeks to have leverage within public opinion in the West, and particularly in the United States. And it knows now that that there is no containing these videos, that they will go viral, they will be all over the place, and they know that there is the potential to influence public opinion in the United States, whether in their favour or against them, you know, but still to influence. So there's the pragmatic propaganda, military strategy way of looking at it. But there's also the taste and decency one. Do we really, you know, what are the values that inspired the original mainstream broadcasters like yourselves to set limits on what would be shown? Are those values in some way questionable? Are they a denial of reality? And then there's the question of just respect for the family. You know, I mean, this was a young man. He was a photographer. He was a journalist. We've nothing against him. We've nothing against his people. They are fine, lovely people. They are our neighbours. Do we really want to embarrass them? Do we really want to add to the embarrassment of their grief being trawled like this and made so explicit, and the horror of the ending of their beloved son being displayed in such a way? So I suppose there's three strands to my thinking in that way, and they confuse each other. But the underlying reality, Frank, is there isn't a stop that can be put to this now.
I'd like to hear from anyone who's got an opinion on it. 90333105. A simple question. Would you watch the video now that it's so easy to access on the internet? Would you watch the video of the execution of James Foley? If so, tell me why. And if not, please explain. Maliki, when you look at the... And I've only been able to look at the stills. I could, of course, access the video. But it's just a stomach-churning, the idea of the young fella being put through what he has been put through. And it's additionally chilling, or is this just within my own imagination, that the guy who's executing him is most likely an Englishman. He speaks with an English accent. Yeah. He's very possibly a jihadist who's gone across from some part of England to be involved. And he's on that video, he is the executioner of a young American who is, going by the pictures, quite stoic, being able to kneel in the desert, knowing that he's moments away from death. Is it made even worse by the fact that it's a local guy, is someone who is, you know, very very possibly entitled to carry a British passport, who's yeah. So evil.
Yeah, well, I do think so. I mean, I don't want to. I would be terrified of this coming across as racist and saying that we somehow expect more civilized values from an English speaker or from a Brit than we do from an Arab, and we don't, or I don't. But what it tells us is this man is not native to the problem. He's not been radicalized by trauma in his home place in the way that many people living in the Middle East, in Iraq and Syria, have been. He has volunteered, I presume, to go out there to identify himself with a cause that had not actually come to his door. And in doing so, you know, I mean, I think we used to talk about the zeal of the convert, you know, that, you know, the person who had converted to a religion or to an ideology would be more ardent than the one who was born into it, you know.
But is it a reminder to us that it's on our doorstep? If an Englishman is doing this, the next thing, he's going to blow up a street in one of our cities. How worried should we be about the evil being so close to us?
Well, we are implicated in the Middle East. We are implicated in Iraq in ways that go back decades and even centuries, and in ways that we're not day-to-day conscious of, and in ways which are not discussed, you know, every day in the news. But we have historic links there, and even if there were not English people with the jihadists carrying out these atrocities, there would still be English accents heard in the souks of Jerusalem and Baghdad, because of our connections there, whether business, military, charitable, whatever. You know, we're in one world, you know, which communities and nations and peoples are interwoven and interacting with each other. And perhaps one of our failings in the West has been this assumption that we can be we can contribute to those things in a good way and feel no payback for. You know, we will always feel good about what we've done there, and we shouldn't feel good about what we've done there. It is a mess that has implications for us. And even if there were not a few hundred English jihadis gone over there to participate as volunteers, there would still be a strong motivation among some people there to bring their revenge to the West. I mean, that, for instance, when 9/11 happened, when the Twin Towers were brought down and the Pentagon was attacked, that wasn't there. You know, there was no talk then of there being English people with Osama bin Laden and the Taliban in Afghanistan. You know, it was quite clearly a culturally distinct thing that was at a remove. But it was, it still hit very, very directly home, killing masses of Westerners. And what you got there was a reaction in America saying, "Why us? Do they just hate us because we're good people and they're evil?" And a reaction in the East, in the Arab world, which says, "Well, you know, what did you expect? You know, you are involved in this, you know." But you can't help
when you look at the stills, or indeed if you view the video, that there's good in the video and there's evil in the video. The good is the young journalist and the evil is the guy with the knife.
Yeah, I accept that. There's no objectivity between the fireman and the fire, as Winston Churchill said. Absolutely. But I would still credit some degree of rationale to the guy with the knife. I would still say he knows what he's doing and he knows why he's doing it. He's carrying out a political act with some measure of calculation. And, we would hope that calculation would fail. We would hope that he would be caught. We would hope that, in terms of the interaction of those two men, if one of them was to die, it would have been a better result if the guy with the knife had died than their photographer, of course. You know, I don't quibble about that, and I don't have any qualms about saying that. I would rather see him dead than see Jim Foley dead. But I still credit that the guy has a brain and that he's part of an organization which has developed a strategy to pursue its own advantage as it sees that advantage. And we can only interact with that by having some sense of what that strategy is and some thought on how to counter it. Now, part of that strategy is to put this disgusting image into the homes of us all, where our children and our friends and our neighbours will see it. And at least, you know, we can counter that by saying, well, back off. You know, I'll not be playing along with that. You know, I'm not going to be, you're not going to move my feelings by killing a man. And you're not going to affect my political responses by killing an innocent man. And if I take that approach, and if enough people here take that approach, then that is a direct, intelligent response to the intelligently contrived move that he has made. That is the counter move to make to him. So it is of strategic value if you want to deal with him. It is of strategic value. It is of counter propaganda value, if you like, to say, I'm having none of this. I'm not looking at this. I don't want this in my home, and I don't want it in my computer. And I'm not going to let you... I'm not going to let you influence my feelings and my attitudes through stuff like this.
Malachy, thanks very much for speaking to us. Thank you. Thank you. Malachy O'Doherty, author, broadcaster, writer, journalist, all of those rolled into one, and giving us an overview on why we should or should not view that video. Henry's been patiently waiting. Henry, good morning.
How are you doing, Frank?
Henry, could you stay with me for just a moment more?
No problem.
Thank you, thank you.
The Frank Mitchell phone-in on U105. Conversation for you.
If you have an opinion, love to hear from you. 90-333-105. Simple question. Will you be viewing that video, the video of the execution of James Foley? Will you be seeking it out today and looking at it? If so, tell me why. And if not, if you're saying absolutely not, explain that rationale to me.
What a difference a day makes. In one day, you could fly to Mongolia, climb the Shard, walk across the Isle of Wight, or spend a day and a night falling in love with a new Mercedes-Benz. The A&B Class 24-hour test drive event is on now until the 23rd of August. And with an extra £250 finance deposit contribution and 6.3% APR representative, it really is amazing what you can get out of a day. Mercedes-Benz Personal Contract Purchase Agreement. Selected A and B class models only. Credit subject to status. Retail customers only. At participating retailers. Conditions apply. Test drives between 14th and 23rd of August. Registrations by 30th of September 2014.
Are you ready for your summer bonus? Would you like £100 or more to spend on luxury items? At Hampton Furnishings Lisbon, it's time for our summer bonus. Because not only have we amazing discounts throughout the store, but for every £1,000 spent on furniture with us, we'll give you £100 to spend elsewhere in the store. So you could get that rug to go with the new table you just bought, or get that picture to go with your new suite, or lamps, or wallpaper, or cushions, or fabric. Hampton Furnishings Lisbon. See hamptonfurnishings.co.uk.
Everyone deserves a break, and with our incredible sale, you can take a 3-day return to Scotland from an unbelievable £189 for a car and five people. Book before the 30th of September, and you can travel on any day on any sailing up to the 31st of October. Perfect for a last-minute break or dropping your little angels off to uni. To enjoy huge savings, book your 3-day return to Scotland today at stanaline.co.uk. Conditions and booking fee may apply.
How would you like to see one of Northern Ireland's musical icons perform an intimate atmospheric show in his hometown? Well, now you can. Just 300 people each night will have the chance to see the genius that is Van Morrison at the Europa Hotel. Preceded by a gourmet dinner and with a unique set from Van's unrivaled back catalogue, this is an opportunity to see the man at his mercurial best. To secure your place at these shows on Saturday and Sunday, October the 25th and 26th, log on to ticketmaster.co.uk or phone 0844 844 0444.
Get inspired with the new Crown Paints app. Introducing My Room Painter, the colour app for at home or on the go. Available free from the App Store or Google Play. You can match colours, upload your favourite rooms or keep up with the latest trends, all at the touch of a button. Then simply call into your local Crown Paint stockist to pick up your colour. Remember, with Crown, it's not just paints, it's personal.
This is U105.